I think we're going to start. I want to visit a little bit more, even if we have covered it briefly. I want to visit this a little bit more. And verse 22 is where we're going to start back. Even though I think we covered a couple of verses.
22 of what chapter?
John chapter 6.
Okay.
We're still, we'll be in John chapter 6 for a little bit. There's a lot of verses in that one. And so it says, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one wherein the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples in the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Now, I do love this because they realized Jesus wasn't there, and they said, "Well, let's seek him, let's find him, let's get him." Why? Well, he keeps feeding us and he keeps doing miracles, and we want him. So bring me Jesus. And there's a lot of aspects to this about seeking the Lord and seeking Jesus. And we talked about the, I do know we talked about this Tuesday, but we'll share it on a little bit. So I don't want to beat the drum overly, but I do want to bring up the context of that, because I feel like those verses are important to where we're getting ready to go. And when they have found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered and said to them, verily, verily, which is basically saying, truly, truly, this is a true statement. You need to listen. I say unto you, seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which is the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So I love this, and y'all just chime in whenever. He's saying, you're not seeking me because, you know, let me see. You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He's basically saying, you're not seeking me for me. You're seeking me for what you got out of it. And I think we all do that at times, don't we?
Yeah.
I think we could all say we're guilty of that, that we're not seeking him solely for him, but we're seeking him for what we're getting out of the seeking.
I notice oftentimes in our prayer life, we will jump right into the asking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and which is, you know, he wants us to ask. You know, he wants us to, you know, make our request known. But oftentimes it's like that's why we're going to prayer. It's not to acknowledge him or to just spend time with the Lord.
Yeah.
It's just, Lord, you know, thank you, Lord, for this day. And then we give him our laundry list of needs, you know. And so we're not much different than these folks here when we do that.
Yeah. And, you know, as children of God, I think sometimes we forget that our Father has our needs under control. Like, he is our provider. So I think sometimes we forget that, and we think that we have to pray and almost beg for what we need. But it's almost a faith issue sometimes. It's almost a faith issue of he already has what we need. We just have to trust him. And I think that, you know, trust, I love how Aaron says that one word. If there's one word in this walk with Jesus, it's trust. Because, I mean, he tells us in his word that he's our provider, that if he cares for the lilies of the field and the birds of the sky, I mean, if he can provide for them, then why do we worry for what we eat and what, you know, tomorrow? And so I think that sometimes is the root issue here.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever, if we look at the model prayer in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer, it's, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, we're well into the prayer before he even asks for anything.
Right.
Mm. You know, and he's actually just saying, like, our Father, he's really acknowledging his relationship. He's saying, my Father, like, this is me and you here. I love you. Hallowed be thy name. There's no one like you in all the earth. He literally starts out with just him and his dad, and he's talking to him, and he's declaring and praising his name, and he's actually worshiping really more than anything at the very first part. And he's saying, let your kingdom come, like, let me be in your presence, let me follow you, let me have your truths.
That's like submission. that just reminds me of what true submission is. Right there,
a surrender. Just surrender. I'm surrendered to your kingdom. I'm submitting to your kingdom. I just want you. And so I think that is something that we need to acknowledge in prayer, that it's not just a
what we're getting out of it. It's who we're praying to. Mm-hmm. And when we're seeking his face, then it's not just seeking him to get. And I do think a lot of times in the body of Christ, we are, I want to say this with as much joy and humbleness and love as I can muster, we're very emotionally inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, and I know there's some left ball, there are curveballs, there's left hooks, there's all these things that happen to us in our walk with Christ. But I do believe this, that our emotional inconsistency will go away at times if we stop seeking him solely based upon what we need in the current situation. Mm-hmm. Because if our life's really falling apart, we're burning. Oh, we are going to pray every single week. We're going to, we're going to read 20 chapters a day. We're going to give. We're going to do all this because my situation demands a really radical outcome. But if we learn to seek him regardless of our situation, then I think these situations stop having such a hold on us because now we've got proper perspective. And like Hannah just said, he's going to provide. We're going to trust him. We're going to walk with him in this, I call it our faith journey with him. Mm-hmm. Because we're always growing in faith. Luke, I think it's Luke 17, says that the kingdom of God starts out as a very small mustard seed, and then it grows very, very big.
Yeah.
And I think our faith is that, because it says the faith of a mustard seed.
It is.
Well, I don't think our faith was ever supposed to be the size of a mustard seed. It wasn't supposed to stay there, but it is starting there.
That verse gets so misinterpreted because people are like, oh, it's a little mustard seed. That's all I need. I just stop there.
Yep. Jay, you looked like you were going to say something.
Can you grow mustard trees in this area?
Mustard trees?
Trees.
I don't know. Is it Fishers?
I don't know. I was just thinking, you know, that would be a good thing, you know, a good reminder. If you could actually do that.
And watch it.
And watch it grow. It grow. Yeah.
That would be, you know, that would be really neat.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what a mustard tree looks like.
I heard they get really big.
I'm looking
compared
them
to
up.
The size of the seed, but I don't I have no idea what they look like or even how they grow or even if it is a tree for that matter.
Can some of our listeners help us out here?
I didn't mean to get off the topic, but I just when you said that I thought, you know, if I could walk by that every morning, you know, as I get in my car or something like that, you know, wouldn't that be a great reminder? Especially if you planted it yourself.
Yeah. You know? For your faith to continue to grow.
Yeah.
I knew you had good ideas every once in a while. Greg Harwell said, where your disappointment is, there is where your idleness is.
Yep.
If in Christ, there is no disappointment. That's an excellent, excellent, Brother Greg. I love that saying. I love that. And let's see here. I'm still looking up mustard seed, Mr. Trees. Somebody help us out here. Tell somebody.
It may not even be a tree. I don't know.
This says that it is, but not sure if that's true.
Wow. That's a big tree.
This is from...
Where do they grow?
Pinterest.
Joey, Brother Joey says, the germination of a mustard seed is approximately 60 to 90 days, grow up to 30 feet tall. They can.
But can you grow one in Kentucky?
we're wanting an application.
I don't know what zone we're in.
It's not the same mustard seed that we have here. So okay. We're going to have to do a research on mustard seeds.
I didn't mean to get off topic. It just popped in my head.
That's okay.
That's a cool thing to... research though,
but you could do a regular tree too. You could take a regular seed.
Yes, I know, but it just, you know.
I mean, look at all the seeds that you did in your last year.
Yeah, even like an acorn or something like that. You know, that big oak tree. Mm-hmm. Since the analogy is still there, but you know, it would be nice. Just as a reminder,
that would be pretty cool. We could call it your faith tree, faith growing tree, or faith reminder tree, or. I don't know. I'm not good at
correct me if I'm wrong, but Miss Gretchen, we were talking about the anointing oil in the sanctuary that we have, and she said that in every bottle is a mustard seed.
Oh, I don't know.
I